Welcome to Fearful Friends Podcast.
Still doing it.
Love it. Thank you. How was your week? Happy Friday.
It's Friday, but I have one more day till I get to be off.
For one day.
Me too. I'm just looking forward to the end of the month when I take my little vacation.
Oh.
It's 5 days, which means we won't be recording that week, but I need it. I'm burnt out. I'm tired and I'm cranky and my back hurts.
Anything else, old lady?
People play their music too loud.
There you go. I knew you had another one in you.
See, I don't even remember where my story was going.
You were just being an old lady. It's fine.
Yep. That's me. Hello. How about you? What's up?
I'm very burnt out.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been more burned out. But
your schedule going back to normal and yet your mental health has not increased? No.
And yet.
Benefited? That's the word.
And yet I'm still working on a Saturday and getting one day off. But then
you
volunteered
for that, didn't you?
Well, then I have like a month and a half of Saturdays that I don't have to work another Saturday until November.
Oh, nice. Do you get to pick which store you go to?
No.
Oh.
We're
so
like,
you're never going to go to the store by my work.
Yeah. We have like partner branches. Oh, and we have this like ghost app.
Tamara's trying to give me a heart attack.
It'll say a few words and then it won't say anything. I think it works best when it's moving.
Yeah, because like it hasn't walking said around. Anything. But like while we were getting everything set up, first we were like setting up the microphones. What it said speech.
Oh, well, it said, oh yeah, it said purple when I first opened it. Which is my favorite color. Like obsessively, it's my favorite color.
Obsessively.
Yeah, and then when we said speech when we were setting up all of the podcast stuff. And
then while we're over here fumbling with all the fucking wires, it says dangerous. And yeah. I'm like, I know, but what do you want me to do about it, right? Ghost?
And now it hasn't said anything. I wonder if I pick it up and try to move it if it says something. I'm going to try.
Okay. I'm scared. Don't taunt them, Zach.
I'm not mean to them. I don't want them to be mean to me.
Okay, she has moved the phone around. Nothing happened. So. What a relief. The ghost is now haunting your family in the other room.
Oh, hey, Emily. Don't
hate. Tamara's just being a mom. How positive you sound. Oh, hey, are you painting even though I told you not to paint?
Tell me about
motherhood.
It's difficult when you are burnt out and... Like, at the end of the day, after talking and hearing so many people talk, and just, I just don't want to talk, and I feel bad, and I feel like a bitch.
You just want to be quiet, which is weird that you wanted to start a podcast. It's literally us just screaming at each other after work.
I think it's just her energy, like, she's...
It's a lot.
Just a bounce and bounce and run and jump and fall. Yeah.
It's the fucking jumping around.
Yeah.
Kids do it at the store, too. They're just, like, climbing up shelves and shit and, like, waving at me. I do not wave back because...
You're mean.
Well, that, but also because they need to know. Like, you don't get to just fucking, like, run around like crazy and, like, think you're being cute.
Or how about, like, don't talk to strangers.
And don't talk to the troll inside of the dairy cooler.
I was gonna tell you not to be so mean about yourself, but that's funny.
You're the one that called me a troll.
I did?
You said, and I quote, you're an angry troll that lives in the dairy cooler.
I said that?
Yes, in one of our episodes. You did. And that's fine. I own it. Because I am a troll.
Oh my goodness.
But don't fuck with me.
Oh my god, you know what I was thinking about?
Birds.
Oh, constantly. I love birds.
Fuck, weirdo.
I
was waiting for the fucking thing to go, bird.
It didn't. It still says danger, which means we haven't corrected the problem. But which go on. I'm sorry. Pretty
dangerous. No, when we worked at Winn-Dixie, like a month or so before our store closed, do you remember who got arrested?
Hold on. We had a couple people get arrested.
Employees.
Yes, we did. The one that I'm thinking of was nowhere near closing. Give me some hints.
A man's name.
Well, that is not helpful at all. Well,
it's a woman with a man's name. Well, her nickname's a man's name.
She worked in the office with us? Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I remember now.
That was mortifying for me. It was horrible.
I mean, she had it coming. What was she doing? She was like stealing scratch-offs, right?
Yeah, what she was doing is taking product off the shelf, refunding it, and keeping that money in the drawer. Like, so she would refund something for $10.
I thought she was stealing scratch-offs. I didn't know she was doing that.
Yeah, she would refund something as if a client were there. And then instead of, like, taking the money out and giving it to a client, because there was no client, the money's in the drawer. So she would scan the scratch-off ticket.
Oh, and take that's how she was stealing the scratch-offs. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of fucking people doing shady shit.
Yeah.
Remember the other woman, like, when I first started there? I don't think she got arrested because she works at another retail store, probably stealing from them too. But she was always, like, return hair dryers and, like, random shit. No?
No.
You don't remember or you didn't know that?
I don't remember who that is.
She was friends with...
I do remember her now.
Yeah.
She worked in the office with us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember her returning stuff, though.
She always did. She would return, like, curling irons and hair dryers and, like, super expensive, like, shampoos and just, like, random shit like that.
God, no.
I'm pretty sure that's why she got fired.
I don't even remember her getting fired, honestly.
Yeah, because she was replaced with that lady. Remember that blonde lady?
Yes.
Ugh. Anyways,
something off about that.
We're really bad about dropping names. What made you start thinking about that one lady?
Things just pop in my head, and then I
simmer
on them, and I can't stop thinking about it until I talk to you about
When you said that, I immediately thought of that one kid who came in shit-faced to a shift to cashier.
Oh my God,
and
yeah.
And he like And he drove his like parents' Mercedes. I mean, it was his car that his fucking parents bought him. It was like a BMW or a Mercedes. He fucking drove it. And he was driving so sloppy that the cops like followed him into the parking lot. And he was like, you weren't there that day?
I was. I don't remember the cops being there.
Oh yeah. They like knew he was there. They were fucking waiting to take him out. But
I remember his dad taking him out.
The cops were there with his dad. Like, they called his dad. The manager, or whoever the manager was, called his dad. But, like, the cops were there outside with his car.
Oh, my God.
Because he had, like, damaged some... He was, like, driving on the median and stuff.
Wow.
And he was, like, trying to punch in. And he couldn't even stand up. He was, like, falling into the lockers and stuff. That's who I thought about.
I just remember having to go and get him off of his line.
I didn't know like, he made it to the register.
He started to, and then something happened with the trash can. I don't know if he threw up in it or...
Oh, you know what? He threw up in it when the manager took him into the office.
Oh, my God.
Yes. He got, like, nervous or something. Oh, good times. Good times.
Ugh. God. No, but remember, our store was closing, so, like, all of us were losing our jobs. They still called the cops on her and had her walked out by the police, yeah. And it was so weird because everyone knew ahead of time but her, and it just we had sucks. To, like, collect.
She was, like, so nice, too. I know. Like, you never would have known. And her fucking daughter worked there.
Yeah, and now works for another grocery store, and I see her. It's weird.
The daughter?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So,
yikes. Well, hopefully the daughter wasn't into any of that shady shit.
No, not at all. That was like so mortifying to like all of a sudden she knows that we had been like watching her mm-hmm. for a long time and like collecting all the evidence and
they still want to fight about it. Like they still like deny. Yeah. It's like, dude. And like the, you and I, when we counted those scratch offs, we were on point.
Yeah.
Like, and they were always off. Or no, they weren't off, but like we would always, something was weird.
They would mess it up at night.
Yes. But something was weird that like tipped us off to it. I don't fucking remember.
I think someone told on her.
I have no idea.
Honestly,
I don't know why I don't remember as much from back then. It's like I blacked it all out.
It was 5 years ago. Wow.
That's it?
Yeah.
Where's my memory? I remember riding a bike when I was 8, and yet I don't remember.
I know. Isn't that weird?
That is very weird.
I can't remember.
I guess trauma sticks with you.
Riding your bike when you were 8.
I just told you this story.
I forgot it that quick.
Do you want me to tell the viewers?
Yes.
Listeners? The
viewers. Yeah.
All 5 of them?
Yeah.
Sierra and Robin? Here's what happened. I wish I could wear pigtails because they're really, really cute, especially when people like put them in like little pigtail buns on the top of their head. But when I was like 8, I was riding. I had my hair in pigtails. I was riding my bike down the street and some gross old man driving by screamed out his windows, nice handlebars. And he wasn't talking about the bike. Well, the end.
I'm sorry.
Trauma.
That is number one, disgusting and horrible for him to take away pigtails from you.
I know. I try to put them in now. Like one time I tried to put them in for like a Halloween costume
mm-hmm.
and yeah, I just couldn't do it.
And you had flashbacks.
I just couldn't do it.
What a sicko.
I know.
Ugh, fucking.
Like gross. I was a child. I was innocent. I didn't even know what it meant until I went and told my brother about it. And oh, he was God. Just like, he said, what?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I was probably just like, he thinks my handlebars are cool. God.
I mean, honestly, if I was riding a bike now and someone said that to me, I would have looked down at my handlebars like, yeah.
I guess they're shiny.
Yeah. I just washed these. All right, so are you ready?
Yes, ma'am. I need a baby wipe. There's some in Daddy's bathroom.
Hey, motherhood.
Mm. Why does she need a baby wipe?
Did you poop?
She was painting. On my good table.
Oh, so it's either on her or on the table. Is it washable paint?
Or both. I don't know. It's acrylic paint. I think it's washable. I don't know. Oh my God. Washable.
Acrylic, you have to like scratch it off. If it dries.
Yeah. All right. Are you ready for my story?
Your tale of woe?
Yes.
Yeah, with your cryptic hints. All right. Hold on. Was I right? Tamara's hint was... Do you want me to say it?
I don't even remember what my hints were. Yeah.
Like jumping twins. You don't even know. And then you
I
said.
I don't know why.
Yeah, my hints are really cryptic.
I don't know why.
I literally gave you like 3 guesses too.
And I don't know why I said jumping.
Maybe you did. I can't grab my phone.
I don't.
Okay. Was I right?
I also don't remember what you guessed.
Well, first I guessed about the twins jumping into the middle of the road in, like, the UK or something.
That was such a weird video.
So it's not that.
No.
Then I thought, okay, twins. It is September. Well, it's not September 11th now, but it was last week. And then I was like, the Twin Towers jumping. There were a lot of jumpers jumping off the buildings.
Yes. Okay, you were right. I was like, why did I say jumping? I forgot. I'm like, jumping.
Well, I shouldn't huzzah for that. They were. But
yeah, so I chose this before I even realized it was September 11th. So
wow.
Yeah. And then I was working on it on September 11th.
And then you were like, wow, I can watch a documentary on it.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yes. So but my story is not specifically about 9/11. It's about one of the people that were involved in it.
Oh, okay. A survival tale?
Yes. So this is a love story, a traumatic story because of 9/11.
Okay.
And the survival story of Tanya Head, who was at the South Tower of the World Trade Center on 9/11.
I've never heard of this. Wow. I'm very excited.
Glad it's not about people committing suicide.
No, no one commits suicide. People die, but... Okay. So I just want to... Because it is September, you know.
It's literally 4 days after September 11th right now, yeah, as we are recording.
Yeah. I just wanted to, like, touch on that, okay? So when you hear 9/11, most of us have gut-wrenching memories that pop into our head. The shock and the fear, all of that floods back. We can all tell you where we were on that horrendous day.
Where were you?
School.
Same.
For those of us who were born in the early 80s to mid 90s, we share similar memories watching this unfold on live TV amongst our peers. Most of us unable to comprehend what was going on or what this meant for America. So you want to, do you have any like story about that? Like you were at school?
I was at school, and then my teacher started crying, and she turned on the TV and said, something big is happening, and you're all going to want to watch. And then they sent everyone home for the day. And then I got home from school, and my mom was sitting in front of the TV, sobbing her eyes out, and I went to give her a hug, and I was just watching the screen. Like, I didn't know what the fuck was going on. And God, everyone was just like, I think this was like the first, like, I don't know, like nationally televised, like, mm-hmm, terrorist attack. Like, I don't know. It was insane. And then I realized there are like adults, like people that are now adults that have like no idea what the fuck we're talking about. I mean, they know.
But they weren't alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh, wild.
So for me, it was a half day at school. We were in first period and one of the deans popped his head into the room and said, a plane just hit one of the World Trade Towers. They're saying it might be a terrorist attack. Turn on your TV right away. And then he ran off to spread the word to everyone else. And then the bell rang immediately. So we didn't even have the TV on. And we went to our second class. Because I was in like sixth or seventh grade. Mm. I could figure it out, but I'm not.
I was in elementary school. Yeah. So I was just like a baby.
Yeah. I was in chorus class when he did this pop sim. And then I walked to my second class, which was math. Love that. So, like, at this point, like, I have no idea what the World Trade Towers are.
I had no fucking clue. And I was like, why? Like, okay.
Or what?
Is this just an office building?
Right.
I didn't know the scope of it.
Or, like, a terrorist attack. Like, I couldn't even comprehend what that meant.
I mean, like, we knew of, like, anthrax and stuff at the time, right? Like, that's probably afterwards.
I think that was after.
Yeah. You know, yeah, you're right.
So yeah, we got to our second period that day, and so our teacher had the TV on, but he was like, we really don't know what's going on. I'm gonna turn the volume down. We still need to do our work, but they want us to keep the TVs on.
Okay. Which is just like wild to me that they want like kids to see that. Like, people were jumping out of windows of these buildings on live TV.
Yeah. And I guess it was because they knew something was going on.
Yeah.
And they needed to know if, like, we would be in danger.
Right.
So, you know, we're doing our work and he says, oh, no. And he turns the TV up and...
That's when the second plane hit.
Yep. The second plane hit the South Tower. He turned the volume up, said, this is really serious. And we watched the live coverage for the rest of the day. And
they didn't send you guys home?
No, because it was a half day.
Aren't your half days, you go in later in Florida?
No, at this time,
come in early, leave early.
Yeah.
I got you.
Or it was come in on time and leave at like lunch. So I lost my place.
Sorry.
Yeah, okay. We watched live coverage the rest of the day in all of our classes. I remember seeing papers flying and falling everywhere and then realizing what I saw were people jumping. Ugh. And that freaks me out because you imagine, like, you're in this building and jumping to your death is better than what's going on.
Oh.
Like.
I can't imagine. The fire.
Because of the jet fuel.
It was burning so hot. Oh, I just. Ugh. Every year I have to like make myself watch like the newest documentary that comes out about 9/11 because that seems like they put one out every year and it just gets like sadder and sadder and sadder. It's just like the more that comes out about it, it's just ugh.
I'm surprised you haven't heard of this then.
I haven't. Okay. It's wild.
Yeah, so a lot of kids got picked up early, but since it was a half day, it was like pretty much time to go home anyway.
Right.
So I took the bus home as normal with my close friend, and our moms picked us up at the bus stop, and they were just talking about...
Had they seen everything?
Yeah. And they were like, they just didn't know what to do. You don't know, like, are we in danger here? Is it more happening? Because...
Right. Do we need to go get guns? Do we need to hunker down?
Yeah, like, because there was more planes. You know, there was a plane that hit the Pentagon and a plane that crashed in Pennsylvania in a field. And no one knows what's happening. I mean, by that time, you know, all planes were grounded, but...
But you don't know if they're still... Yeah.
Nobody knew. It was scary. Yeah, I think my brother and sister were in kindergarten. In fact... At the elementary school that they went to, that's the same elementary school Em's in right now.
Aww.
They made this like big giant flag picture. Like it's huge, like the size of a wall with every single student in it. And they were all wearing red, white, or blue. And then they put them in the like stripes and all that. And my brother and sister are in that picture as kindergartners. So anytime I go in there, with them, I'm like,
look. You wave hi to the twins.
Yeah. So every September 11th, I try to think about the positive stuff because there's no positive because I just have poor mental health and I need to do this. But I think about how as a country we came together and hurt and mourned and were scared and... It was like, regardless of your political preferences or religion, unless you're of Middle Eastern descent.
They were heavily discriminated upon. Right.
Yeah. After watching this horrible thing and watching our fellow Americans be forever changed, we became stronger together. And I just wish that we could go back to that because we've gone so wrong since then.
Truly.
But, I mean, that's what... I remember in the aftermath of September 11th, along with all of the, you know, horrible stuff that was going on, you know, we were just like Americans. We were all together. It was like, and I think about that when we watch documentaries too. It really.
It was something that every one of us was going through together. Like it wasn't, oh, that's his problem. Like it's all of our problems. We all live here. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I know that they blamed Bush for it or whatever, but I mean, I feel like if that happened today.
If anyone's to blame, it's Cheney.
If that happened today, I feel like the reaction would be totally different and there would be polar opposites.
Oh my God. It would be false news, and then like just, sides pointing fingers at each other. Well, you didn't do this. Well, you didn't do this.
Yeah.
And then there would be a third faction of people saying it didn't exist.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure that there was stuff like that, but I just like to focus on the
certainly
positive.
In the aftermath, the conspiracies came forward.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it really did. It was a horrible thing, but it did bring the country together for the most part.
Yeah. So... The footage of that day shows that of an unimaginable warscape, and this attack became the deadliest act of terrorism in human history. Estimates show around 3,000 people lost their lives. Survivors now had to deal with the aftermath. The road to recovery for them was completely uncharted. They had to heal physically and emotionally, so naturally, mentally, So naturally, many were left unable to cope and couldn't imagine being able to ever go back to a normal life after so many of their peers, coworkers, and friends would never be able to. The survivor's guilt and isolation from others who share the same experience ate at some, thinking, why did I survive when so many didn't? So many people and children died that day, and they were left with a huge burden as survivors.
It's that guilt. It'll eat you up.
Yes. Okay, so that part is over. We can move on to the survivor tale. Okay. These survivors formed a few support groups to connect with each other, one of which was called the World Trade Center Survivors Network. One of the founders, Jerry Bogax,
You did your best.
It's Bogacz.
Okay. Yeah.
So he was one of the founders of the support group. He learned of a woman named Tanya Head. She had developed an online support group for 9/11 survivors. After months of emailing each other back and forward, they decided to merge their two groups. Tanya became well known for having one of the most traumatic survival stories. She also was a beacon of hope for other survivors struggling to return to their normal lives after the attacks. When those survivors were lost and didn't know how they could ever go back to a normal life, they looked at Tanya, whose experience in most cases was worse than anybody else. She seemed to be thriving and doing so much to provide support and bring her community together. Her strength showed the other survivors that life can go on and that they too can find their way out of the dark like Tanya had. Aww. Tanya's story was truly devastating. She worked on the South Tower for Merrill Lynch. Her fiance Dave worked in the North Tower for a consulting firm called Deloitte.
I'm assuming he died.
Yeah. He did. Aww. Tanya and Dave met outside of the World Trade Tower, the World Trade Center towers.
The Twin Towers.
Yeah, the Twin Towers.
The World Trade Center.
Yeah. When he stole her cab.
Oh, already off to a rocky start.
At the time, she was annoyed by him. He handed her his business card, tried to like make peace, and she threw
Here,
it
away. Call me sweet cheeks.
And she threw it away. About a month later, they ended up meeting again at a business meeting. They clicked and started dating. According to Tanya, they were in love and so happy together.
Did they know that he was the one that, like, stole her cab? Like, yeah. Oh, my God. That's so funny.
They moved in together on the east side of Manhattan with their golden retriever, Elvis.
Oh, BB.
Their relationship moved fast. One day after work, Tanya walked into the apartment to a path of roses leading to the kitchen where Dave was standing holding two tickets to Hawaii, and he said, we're leaving tomorrow.
Hawaii?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's all I want in life. I called your boss. Everything's handled.
I will pay your vacation time because you don't have any.
The surprises didn't stop there. When they got to Hawaii, Tanya found that Dave had planned an unofficial marriage ceremony on the beach, complete with a white dress Dave had special made for her.
Oh. Really? Yeah. Well, he knows her measurements?
Apparently, yeah. Okay. I don't know how that works. I guess, you know, when you're rich and, like, you work in a consulting firm, you can do stuff like that.
You get a tailor to sneak up on her when she's sleeping and secretly take her sizes.
Right. You can, like, live in Manhattan. He even invited her parents to be there to witness it.
Oh.
The wedding was on the beach with a circle of orchids and truly beautiful.
And she didn't even know that they were, like,
planning it all.
Wow.
Yeah.
What if she wanted to have a say?
Right. She just swept off her feet. They were romantic.
Literally. He was like, okay, here we go. Come on.
I'm going to Hawaii. The next morning, they called their family and friends to tell them they got Maui'd.
Well.
Like M-A-U-I. Yeah, yes. Maui'd.
Maui'd. Yep.
But... I don't want to make fun of her.
I mean, do you think she came up with that or him, though?
I don't know.
I feel like he's planned this whole thing. He came up with the pun.
She has this, like, Spanish accent on top of that, so it kind of just sounds like a speech impediment when she's, I got Maui'd. Like, I don't know, whatever. It was just weird. It made my skin crawl. They still planned. Wow.
Made your skin crawl.
I don't like it. They still planned to have the official wedding in October of 2001 in New York City, as they had been planning. So, yeah.
A month after.
Yeah, to, like, make it official.
Wow.
Yeah. The morning of September 11th, Dave called Tanya at work and asked her to get coffee. Tanya turned down his offer due to a meeting, and she said she would see him later. And there's just my list of
sources.
My list of sources is just right there in the middle of my story. I don't know why.
Is the rest of your story there?
Yeah.
Oh, God. You scared me.
She continued working, running the board meeting for a large merger for her company on the 96th floor of the South Tower.
That's so high up.
When the first plane hit the North Tower, where Dave was.
Oh, my God. And she knew he was in there?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
She saw the fire and smoke billowing out of the windows of the tower and people jumping from the building to escape. Tanya immediately ran to the stairs trying to get to her husband, who she feared the worst for. She ran down 18 flights of stairs with her assistant following when she heard another woman screaming, another plane is coming.
Oh, I just got chills.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Tanya said the windows exploded and she felt immense pressure being sucked out of the building. She was thrown into a marble wall and lost conscience. Conscience?
Consciousness.
She lost consciousness. Okay. Words are hard.
Words are so hard.
When she awoke, she saw her assistant had been decapitated.
Oh my God! By what? Like glass?
Rubble?
I need to know! Oh my God! Sorry.
Tanya states she saw people burning alive in too much agony to save themselves. Like they're alive. Being burned to death. She herself was badly burned from the roaring fire from the leaking jet fuel that was only growing stronger. She was also covered in the rubble of the impact.
She's stuck under the rubble?
Ugh. Then.
Hopefully the rubble protected her from the fire.
Then she sees her savior, a man in a red bandana. He pulls her out of the debris and leads her to the only safe stairwell left. He then turns back around to help others. Tanya said she had to crawl over the dead and dying. At one point, a man held his hand out and begged Tanya to take his wedding ring and give it to his wife. She miraculously made it out of the building, being so badly injured.
Did she take the ring?
Mm-hmm. She took the ring.
Did she even know who the man was?
No, not yet.
Oh.
A firefighter had to come in and help her out of the building because obviously she was really hurt.
Yeah.
And she had to make it down, like,
so many stairs, like, because elevators aren't working, and she was on the fucking 96th floor.
Well, she was on the 96th floor at the meeting,
but then she went 18 flights down,
yeah,
and that's when the plane hit.
Right.
Still got a long way to go.
Yeah.
70 floors.
Being really badly injured. So she did, I think she lost consciousness on the stairs at one point, and then a firefighter came in and helped her get out of the rest of the building. Some reports say he put her over his shoulder and carried her out. I don't know.
It's hard to say.
You know how sources are.
Yeah, especially when everything is just like chaos. I mean, yeah. Who really knows?
So they made it out. The firefighter helped her roll under a fire truck to shield her and him as the ground started shaking and an overwhelming sound of concrete and metal being torn apart as people ran for their lives screaming that the North Tower was falling. Tanya and the firefighter were buried in the rubble as the tower crashed around them. This is the last thing she remembers before she lost consciousness again. I'm really going to struggle with that word.
You're doing great.
Thanks. She woke up in the hospital covered in gauze, unable to move. I'm sure she was also on, like, you know, breathing tubes and feeding tubes and all that.
Think about, like, the the amount of like concrete dust and like ash, and I mean, if they were so close to the towers mm-hmm. and being buried in it, all of that's in your fucking lungs.
Yeah.
Like,
and like her skin was like burned off. Also worse stuff.
Yeah.
She immediately thought of Dave.
Oh, no.
She started screaming for the nurse and begged them to tell her where he was, but they stated they had no information. Her parents, who lived in Stanton
yeah. Island?
Stain.
Oh, I no. did it wrong again.
Stanton Island? Staten Island.
Like Stanton Optical.
Her parents, who lived in Spain, rushed. Oh,
so we were both wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rushed to her bedside and broke the news that Dave didn't make it through the attacks.
Wait, her parents lived in Spain. We have just gone through a terrorist attack where 4 planes have crashed into various places in the country. How did they get there?
I don't know. They didn't fly. I don't know. It was New York.
They take a boat?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't think about that. She was widowed before they were even able to file an official marriage certificate.
Well, at least they got married first. That's a bad joke.
It's a good joke. It's just weird.
Make your skin crawl.
Yeah. Through her trauma and grief, Tanya was able to devote months to physical therapy.
Therapy?
To be strong for Dave, who could not be. Her arm was torn almost completely off.
Oh my God!
But doctors were able to reattach it. However, she was badly burned and would have to live with the horrendous scars for the rest of her life. She was able to leave the hospital in time for Thanksgiving that year.
Where was she was she burned, like, all over? Was it her entire body?
It was mostly on that arm that got ripped off. She made it her mission to track down the identity of the man who gave her his wedding ring and find his wife to return the ring that held the only clue. A single word engraved into the band. Forever is the word.
Oh.
Yeah. She was able to track down the man's wife without media attention and never divulged the man's name for his wife's privacy.
I wonder how she felt. I mean, like, everybody, I'm assuming that power was out at the tower, there was fire and ash, and he was dying, and, like, how did she know him?
I think that she reached out to, like, networking, where they have the Survivors Network. They also have family groups and stuff like that, so she kind of just spread the word and eventually found him.
Ugh.
Her next goal was to find the man in the red bandana who saved her life. It was no mystery who he was. Wells Crowther was a 24-year-old volunteer firefighter who died when the South Tower collapsed. His family was certain he was the famous hero of the World Trade Center. When the news spread...
Oh my God, what did that fucking box just say?
It said best.
I don't know. I'm so scared.
It scared me. I forgot about that box.
Oh, I've got goosebumps.
Sorry about that.
Maybe the ghost,
a little
likes,
ghost recorder.
He likes the story.
He likes it. He said best. So, thanks.
That scared me.
All right.
You be good.
I have literal chills right now.
Stop. Rolling down my sleeves.
Oh my goodness. His family was certain he was the famous hero of the World Trade Center when the news spread of a man wearing a red bandana covering his face was the one that saved so many people in the South Tower. And he died in the South Tower.
That's really sad.
When it fell. Wells had carried a red bandana with him every day since he was 6 years old.
Wow.
He's 24.
Yeah.
And he saved so many people.
Where did he come from? Do you think he was working in the tower?
He did work in the tower. So I don't know if he was at work. I think he was an intern or something. I don't remember. But he was also a volunteer firefighter.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. At a memorial service for Wells in 2006, Tanya was asked to speak, but was too overcome with emotion, so her friend stood up for her and read her statement.
Oh, are you going to read the statement? Mm-hmm. Oh, is it going to make me cry?
No, I don't know. Maybe. You kind of cry a lot. Little baby.
I know. I can't help it.
Even after 5 years, I still bear the burden of being alive when so many other lives were taken from us. In my family, we have a tradition at Christmas each year.
Not a single drop of booze in this one.
In my family, we have a tradition at Christmas. Each year, we tell the children stories drawn from our lives. The story they want to hear year after year is the story of the man in the red bandana whose courage stood taller than the Twin Towers themselves.
Wow.
Tanya struggled with speaking in public about her 9/11 experiences. She didn't tell her whole story until 2006 when Gary from the World Trade Center Survivors Network reached out to her. Tanya was amongst the very small number of survivors who were at or above the point of impact. Her story, positivity, and kind, warm personality pushed her to the front of the Survivors Network. Gary was voted off of the board, and Tanya was elected president of the group. A new title created especially for her ability to provide support to the group. She aimed to implement a code of conduct for the group to guard against scammers who claim to have long-term injuries seeking to con money from well-wishers.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. When you said scammers, I just assumed like people who just wanted the clout of like, feel bad for me, I'm a survivor.
Right, yeah, and wanted I didn't to be think in these about- groups.
People money. With fucking, yeah, money. God, people are disgusting.
Yeah, and there's trash everywhere, so.
Honestly, even in the bottom of the ocean, mm-hmm. as we've learned.
Mm-hmm. She organized meetings, booked speaker.
Also, did you know that New York was built on trash?
I'm not going to say anything about that, because it wasn't nice.
It's fact.
Oh, I believe you, but I had a rude joke to say.
It's literally sinking because it's built on trash. Go on.
There's like a city under it.
Gross. I hate that. Is it the sewers?
I don't know.
But the mole people live?
I mean, like, I heard that. And then I saw this video on TikTok where part of the sidewalk was crumbling. And he, like, put his phone down in there. And it was just, I mean, it was huge under there.
Yeah. It's like, ugh.
Probably smells really bad.
Down there. Oh, it does.
I've never been to New York City.
I've never been, and I don't want to go. Okay. All I talk about is like, when it's cold, it's like really, really cold, which is fine by me. But then when it's warm, the stink gets super like it's like a hot stink.
Yeah.
Smells like vomit and armpits and garbage.
Right. I feel like I see like piles of garbage and like, you know, online and in New York.
Yeah.
I don't know how valid that is. My husband lived in New York for some point in his life. I don't fucking know. I don't really care about it. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't care to know.
But I want him to take me and him back like around Christmas time to, you know, see Central Park, see the tree.
Central Park is basically just like murder capital of New York.
Yeah, apparently you could just buy a lot of drugs there.
For sure.
No, yes. But it's beautiful and like the memories.
In the daytime, don't go at night. You can't go at night.
What if it's snowing?
You can't go at night.
There's a zoo there. It's beautiful.
Pretty sure there's a movie about it. Don't go at night.
The movie I'm thinking of is Home Alone 2, where...
Have you ever seen Troll in Central Park?
That sounds very familiar to me.
I fucking love that movie. I love that movie so much. He's got a little green thumb.
Is it like he's a cartoon, but they show the real world? He's like a cartoon in this world? No. What am I thinking of?
Oh, you know what? Maybe. But he has a green thumb. And then like he meets like some evil fucking something or other and it turns his thumb gray and then he can't grow anything anymore. He's really sad about it.
So you can remember that.
Yep.
I just remember Home Alone 2, and it was Christmas time, and he gets the doves, and it was nighttime, and he goes and finds that lady who was like the bird lady. The
pigeon lady.
Yeah, and he gives her the other dove. Yeah. That was literally cute, my favorite movie. Macaulay
Culkin or whatever his name is.
Yes. No joke. Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2, I watched one of those every single day. So much that my parents got me a toy, Kevin, and it was like,
please tell me it went like this.
No. But it was like one of those toys where you pulled the string in its back and it would say it would go, ah, and then it would say, I made my family disappear. I fucking love that thing, man.
Horrifying. Speaking of pull-string dolls, you know I still have that Beetlejuice that we took from your grandma's house?
Oh my gosh.
It's even scarier now because, like, the battery is, like, really starting to die.
The battery's from, like,
when? The 50s? I don't know.
Whenever no, not Beetlejuice
the
50s, came out.
But, like, yeah, the 90s probably. But when you pull the string, he goes, it's showtime. So scary. Anyways.
That is really scary. You know, there's a second Beetlejuice coming out.
I know. I'm so excited. I have a feeling it's going to be very, like, Wednesday-esque.
Well, yeah, because same girl. That's why.
Ugh, that's why.
Yeah. That's why M's so excited.
They're just going to, like, fucking TikTok it up. You know what I mean? They're going to just, like, they're going to take something that was so beautiful in its own, and they're going to make it palatable to children.
But it has a lot of the original cast, and I think it kind of follows the story, like, so many years down the road.
We will see.
I don't know.
If I see one fucking stupid dance, I'm going to freak out. Like that weird Wednesday dance.
Not even if they do it to that Jamaican song?
It has to be the original.
What is that song? I know they sing it.
Shake, shake, senora, okay. Shake your body right. What? That is not Jamaican. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, wait. Hold on. I'm thinking of the song at the end of the movie. That's the same song as
Is it Dinner. Not? I honestly don't remember watching that movie, so maybe we need to cut that part
out. I just watched that movie like 2 months ago, and I'm pretty...
It's not Come Mr. Tallyman, Tally Me Banana.
Oh, wait.
Is that one not
banana.
In there?
Banana.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's 6 foot, 7 foot,
yes!
8 foot hike. I don't know if that's the words, but...
Why did I think it was a Jamaican song?
I don't know. I don't even know the words.
I think I'm mixing it up with another song. Okay, that was a real long tangent.
Wow. Where were we?
I don't know.
Sorry.
So, Tanya, she's doing all these things, like, growing this survivors group. Yet now she's the president of. They basically kicked Gary out. They didn't kick him out.
What did Gary do? He got voted out.
Yeah.
What did he do?
Nothing.
But they voted him out? That seems very mean.
I know. So Tanya organized meetings, booked speakers, and obtained nonprofit status for the group, as well as making a huge leap for the group in obtaining the right to enter Ground Zero for the first time since the attacks. This was a huge step for them, as at that time, no one was allowed to enter and can only stand on the outside of the gates surrounding what they called the pit.
This was before they, like, built it into the memorial, right?
This is
right?
Where they were still trying to clean it out.
Just
and
rubble still.
And, yeah, it was just a big, giant hole where they were still searching for bodies.
I actually just found some more.
I can't even fathom that.
Like, within the last week, I think they identified 3 more.
Okay, well, I'm going to throw up now.
You need to turn that thing off.
Were they found in grass? That ghost thing said grass.
Oh. Oh my god.
I was like, there's a child voice. the chills I have right now.
I'm dying.
I thought
the ghost box had the voice of a child.
That was just my kid, everyone.
Sorry, Emily. I didn't mean to scream.
All right, honey, go away now, okay? We're telling scary stories.
I'm crying.
Okay, so to recap...
I don't know if they were found in grass, because there's no grass in New York.
To recap what happened...
Except in Central Park.
But still, I mean, like, you were just talking about... I have to turn her off.
I didn't mean to scream. That's going to hurt your ears.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel very quiet.
Maybe I blew out my fucking mic.
No. Maybe you blew out your headphones.
Future Tamara here. Just letting everyone know that Rel did, in fact, blow out the cord to her microphone.
Possibly.
Anyway, so to recap what just happened, our stupid spirit app thing. I'm not, okay, to any ghost, it's not, you're not stupid. I don't know.
The box is stupid, not you. Are you sure mine's?
Yeah, I can see it. You're good.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Every time it's talked, it said, like, relevant stuff, and I don't like it. I thought it was just going to be, like, stupid things.
Banana.
Yeah. Anyway, don't like that. And then my child was outside of the door that's, like, 2 feet away from me.
I screamed, and she was like, what's going on in there? And we both thought that there was a child's voice coming through the box.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow.
I got more scared of the box saying grass than I did when it said danger.
We have to get back to the story.
Sorry.
Okay. So we were talking about how she got them access to Ground Zero to, like, actually get inside.
Yes.
Because nobody was allowed to go into the pit, and they were forced to stand outside the gates with the rest of the curious onlookers, tourists, and street vendors selling 9/11 merchandise.
Ugh. Well, yeah. Who do those profits go to?
Them.
No. Awful.
Yeah. Being able to stand on the grounds of this event and process the memories and emotions helped them heal, and had been a goal for them for a long time. Tanya was very well off financially due to her family's wealth, and she put so much of her own money into this group and made a huge difference in the lives of its members. There are photos of Tanya with Mayor Bloomberg and Rudy Giuliani walking around the 9/11 site. I'll post all those on our Instagram and TikTok, so please go follow us there, as we do for all of our episodes. And sometimes we post funny things. So we're very entertaining.
Sometimes we forget to post episode stuff on Instagram. That's okay, because we'll get it later.
Yes. Filmmaker Angelo Guglielmo. Another hard word name. I know, but I think I nailed it. So filmmaker Angelo Guglielmo was seeking to make a documentary about the survivors of 9/11. He wanted Tanya as the main character for this film. Tanya was difficult for Angelo to deal with, and she didn't want to cooperate with his documentary.
Wow.
She was too focused on her duties as the president of the survivors group. That's where all her focus, that's all she really cared about. They did eventually meet, and Angelo was even more perplexed with Tanya than before. He had a hard time believing parts of her story, and even stated that the scars on her arm were not that of someone who almost lost their arm and had to have it reattached.
Who is this dude? How does he get off? What the fuck? There's a weird noise coming from the thing again. I think I killed it with my voice.
I think it's the ghost. Angelo was able to interview her on camera for the documentary. He said nothing of his concerns to Tanya, feeling it was in bad taste to question someone who had gone through such a morbid experience.
Yeah, it is. In very bad taste.
Yeah, and even just to, like, state it.
Even just to think it.
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
Angelo was not the only one questioning parts of Tanya's story, though.
Who?
Some members of the support group found a few things odd.
Like?
She referred to Dave as her husband sometimes and other times called him her fiancé. They
got married.
Yeah, they weren't officially married.
It wasn't official, so. But they went through the fucking marriage.
Right.
They may as well have been married. Mm-hmm. Damn. People really gonna nitpick.
Tanya was able to have her marriage posthumously ratified. So they went back and like officialized it. Officialized.
So they were.
So they were officially, aww, yeah.
So sweet. Yes.
But Tanya never shared his last name publicly, and she didn't take his last name. A close friend was able to convince Tanya to share it with her and eventually was successful. She found Dave. He had died in the North Tower. However, his obituary made no mention of his wife. Tanya never showed pictures of herself and Dave together. No wedding photos of the stunning beach ceremony or pictures of them together in their home they shared together.
That's because those are private. Some people just want their lives to be private.
Yeah, or maybe it hurts her and she can't look at it. And she's like healing from this fucking trauma. Maybe it's just
nobody else's business.
Right. When friends visited, they asked to meet Elvis, Tanya and Dave's beloved golden retriever. He sounds so cute.
Oh my God, please tell me she still has Elvis.
He was never home. Tanya always stated he was on a walk with a maid. Others grew suspicious in 2006. Journalists Sergei Kovaleski and Dave Dunlap from the New York Times read about Tanya's story and were shocked to learn she was never interviewed in 2001 during the immediate aftermath. They tried to contact Tanya and she repeatedly dodged them, blocking their calls and told the other survivors in the group not to speak to them. Anytime she was asked to speak at events or confronted, she would break down and have a panic attack. Her friend, who was always by her side, would step in and speak for her, just like
at his the 5-year
red
thing,
red bandana guy's memorial. Tanya became panicked by the suspicions and went to a lawyer to prepare a statement. She admitted several inconsistencies in her story. She confessed she'd never worked for Merrill Lynch, but was simply there that day applying for an internship. She also said Dave was not her fiancé. They never owned a dog named Elvis, and they did not live together. They had only been dating for a few weeks at that time.
Wait.
So the whole Hawaii thing never happened. They had only just been dating.
Why did she make all this up? Cause her whole fucking thing. Wait a minute. Is this the documentary about, like, the woman that wasn't there?
Yes.
You had me pull on my heartstrings this whole time for Tanya and she wasn't there?
In fact, I think I watched that documentary with you.
You didn't. I've actually never watched the documentary because I just, I don't know. Oh, I am outraged.
I got her.
I am so outraged right now. She lied about everything. Was she even there?
Yeah, she was there. But she was not married to Dave.
So she just, like, made up this whole story for, like, to pull on people's heartstrings?
Right.
That's so fucked up.
The statement that she made. Tammy. Her name's not Tammy, it's Tanya.
Tanya.
The statement that she made with the lawyer that...
Maybe I was talking to you, ugh, Tammy.
Please don't call me that. Call me literally anything else.
Whore. Okay.
So it spread through the survivors network, and Tanya could no longer be trusted. The New York Times got a hold of the statement and published an expose a week later that destroyed her statements that she made, and her whole story fell apart.
I'm so mad!
So it destroyed the statements that her lawyer made. The expose.
Wait. So that works in her favor?
No.
Okay. That's what I thought. Yeah. But you were looking at me like, Rel, what are you looking at me like that for?
Yeah. With that expose, they were investigating her and her statement. So they they did a full investigation.
I'm so mad.
Tanya wasn't even her real name.
Okay.
Her name was Alicia Head, and she had not even been in New York on 9/11.
Is she ill?
She wasn't even in the U.S.
Wait, so she
So you lied to me a second yes. ago.
I had to. You're ruining my story. She was at business school in Barcelona. Ugh. Why would you lie about being in 9/11 when you say we're in fucking Barcelona?
Barcelona.
How? Okay.
I'm.
United States, Barcelona. Come on. I was in Barcelona in business school too. It was pretty cute.
And then just like to take all of this grief from other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have no fucking idea what they're going through. You're just a liar. I'm mad at Tanya.
Oh, me too.
Are we allowed to be mad yes. at Tanya? Oh,
yeah, we can be mad at her now.
I hate Tanya.
Marilyn. Her name's...
Not Tanya, Alicia.
Alicia.
Ugh.
Merrill Lynch had no record of her, not even as an intern. Some sources I read state that Merrill Lynch wasn't even located in the World Trade Center at the time of the attacks. I don't know what to believe because there's always differing sources.
I feel like you should be able to look up a directory, right? Like, it's a
probably
building. I'm sure they have a directory.
Probably.
And that does sound like a business that would be in the...
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Dave and Tanya had never even met.
I hate her.
I know.
Was Dave a real person? Wait, so no, because they've never even met. So how would she even know about him? And that stupid little meet cute story.
Dave was a real person. He did die in the North Tower for real. I'm not lying to you this time. Because remember, she finally confessed his name to her friend. Yeah. And then her friend did find his obituary. Okay. And it never mentioned Tanya.
Okay, so Tanya literally just, like, looked at the obituaries and, like, was that's my husband.
Yeah, exactly. After investigation by the New York Post, it was proven that all the details and stories she told were stolen from various news articles. She even learned of Dave's identity that way.
Oh, sorry, I ruined your story again.
Most of the other facts were stolen from an interview of Ling Young in the New York Times. Ling worked on the 86th floor of the South Tower and was guided to safety by Wells Crother, the hero in the red bandana. Alicia contaminated the story of Ling and Wells.
She stole somebody else's story. Yeah,
and hurt their already grieving families and the survivors who trusted her. For what? How could anyone commit such a sick and selfish act to gain attention from the most devastating event we have ever witnessed?
That's it. She just wanted attention.
Mm-hmm. For those who were not there that day, we will never be able to imagine what the tragedy was like for the people who experienced it firsthand. What we watched on TV was horrific, but could never compete with the fear, confusion, misery, and terror of the firsthand witnesses. No.
I was listening to a podcast about 9/11, like a couple months back, and I was sobbing in my cooler at work. Like, I couldn't imagine fucking being there, and I couldn't imagine making shit up just for, like, ugh. Ugh. I'm so enraged.
I don't want to talk about Alicia much longer. She's already had too much attention, so.
Exactly.
To sum up her BS, she did grow up very wealthy. Friends and family interviewed after the truth came out said she was a spoiled child who was also an attention seeker and a pathological liar.
Probably didn't get enough attention from her yeah. parents.
She did have a huge scar on her arm from a car accident when she was younger, but she even lied about the details around that.
And I got mad at that one person for questioning her scars.
I had to. It was a story.
Oh, I apologize to that person.
After her fraudulent story was revealed, she vanished. There was no story, no excuse. She was just gone. She was investigated and found to have not committed any crime.
I feel like that's forgery.
I don't know.
Well, fraud? Fraud. And identity theft?
She did not benefit financially in any way and, in fact, had given a large amount of her own money
to the nonprofit.
To support the Survivors Network. She also really helped the Survivors Network grow, like, exponentially and do all these things, like becoming
going to ground zero.
Yeah, and becoming nonprofit and getting, you know, so she... That was the only thing that she did that was not.
But then, like, disgusting. What a slap in the face for the fucking survivors to find out that this person that you, like, have been leaning on for healing is just, like, a fucking fake.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that probably really set them back, too.
Oh, absolutely. Just grieving all over again.
Undid the work she did, but... But we don't know where she is today, and I don't believe any of the information that we get about her current whereabouts, because she's a fucking liar, so. Fuck off, Alicia. There are so many documentaries on Alicia available. Years ago, I watched the documentary on Netflix. I have
not watched a single one, but now I will.
It's not on Netflix anymore. Okay. It's called The Woman Who Wasn't There.
And yes, like, I remember seeing that.
I don't know how you remember that, because even though I was literally so intrigued.
The little picture of it, but I never watched it because I was just like, oh, it's just another conspiracy. But I didn't know it was fucking, like, real.
Yeah, I was intrigued by it. And so I just always think about it. So you can get it through YouTube or Amazon Prime or Prime Video or whatever it's called, Amazon Video. I don't know. And, like, even now when I think of 9/11, I think of Alicia.
That's disgusting.
I know. Which is why I have to, like, I try to, like, spin it in the positive and think about, you know.
She gave a lot of money.
Or, like, I think about how, like, America really came together.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like, I got you.
I don't know.
That, too.
Mental illness.
Sorry. The way that your face just twitched when you said that. Mental illness.
I hope she got help is the nicest thing I'm going to say about her. But to be more accurate, be fucking for real, Alicia. I hope you have the life you deserve. I hope karma took a big shit on you.
I love you.
Thank you.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yes. So go watch that documentary. There's other documentaries that I haven't watched, so I don't know how good they are. But because that journalist...
I don't remember any names.
His name is Alfonso, but I can't remember his
Geronimo. Last
name. Yeah, he was able to interview her on camera for this documentary that he wanted to do. So there's so many videos from him on this documentary of her talking and answering these questions. And so that's why before everything came out, we got so much information from her. Even though it was all fucking fake.
Somebody else's stolen story.
Yeah. So, him doing that, like, really changed, you know, the story. Now everyone can watch her just lie and...
Yeah, now in hindsight, we know it's all just bullshit. I wonder if she, like, sparks a little tear when she's telling the story. Did you just hear my stomach?
No, I didn't.
Good.
She probably does. I mean, she can fake a panic attack.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She was getting panic attacks whenever they would try to interview her. Yeah. Well, maybe it was a real panic attack, knowing that people were going to be on to her. I know. She's just like, oh, the jig's up.
I just think that she, even in, like, when they were asking her questions and she was faking the panic attack, I think she liked that attention.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, fucking sicko.
Yeah, because... They didn't know she was having a panic attack because of that. They just thought...
She's traumatized.
Bless her heart. She's not ready to open up yet.
Right. And, like, when she was a teenager, she was in a car accident. And the story that she told was she was driving in, like, a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or something. And it was her boyfriend's car. And it crashed. And that's why she has the scars. But it's a completely different, boring story. She didn't even have a boyfriend. Anyway, why are you owing her?
She had to make up another boyfriend. It's like she's making up all of her spouses.
She is.
If she wasn't such a liar, she could get a real one.
She's not that cute. I mean,
I don't know if we can say that. No body shaming.
I'm not. She's just.
Or cuteness she said, shaming.
She said Mauied, okay?
Here, I thought Dave was a douche.
No.
This whole time, I thought Dave was a douche because he came up with, let's get Maui.
Even when he said and I don't like it.
God, Tamara, I apologize to Dave's family. I didn't mean it. I didn't know I was being set up. It's Alicia's fault.
Yeah. Everything's Alicia's fault.
I'm going to blame it on her from now on. Yeah, I forgot stub my toe.
I forgot my vitamins this Boom. Morning.
Alicia, where you at?
All right. Well, thank you for listening.
That was a wild ride.
Yeah.
Emotions.
I know.
Ghosts. Sniffling.
Children.
Heartburn.
Oh, the heartburn. So if you have any interesting stories, any story.
Are you a 9/11 survivor?
Yes. Work stories, crazy experiences, anything. And you like to share it, and one day we can do some listener tales or whatever we want to call it, to share your story. Anyway, so send your stories to
fearfulfriendspodcast@gmail.com.
Thank you.
Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at fearfulfriendspodcast.
Yes. And follow us or subscribe, whatever it is on the app that you use.
Just do all the things, please. Yes. Be nice about it.
Yes. And rating on Apple Podcasts is very important. So if you love us, or even if you like us.
Or even if sometimes you don't like us, still rate us positively.
Yeah. Yeah. Women supporting women, and also men support women.
Also non-binary supporting women.
Let's just support each other. Let's
all just fucking support us. Please.
This just may be like a fun, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a hobby. Fun hobby for me and Rel, but.
And it's a way for us to vent.
It's our baby. We want to see her grow.
It is our baby.
Yeah. So thank you so much for listening. We will be back next Friday.
For my tale.
Yes.